this week Shabbos is going to be Sukkot, therefore the shir today is going to be about the mitzvah of Sukkah. We will start this shir in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8, verse number 13, where the Jewish people are back from the exile in Babylonia. And then the pasuk says, Uvayom Hashem in the second day, Nesfu Roshe Ovois Lechol Ha'om, Hakoyanim Valavim El Ezra Sofer, meaning that the heads of the family of all the people, the Kohanim, the Levites, gathered together to Ezra, the scribe, Ulahaskil as Divrei Torah, and to delve in the words of Torah. Va'imtzu kosov ba'Torah, and they found written the Torah, Asher tzivu Hashem beyad Moshe, that Hashem commanded through Moshe, Asher yeshvu bnei Yisrael ba'sukos, that the Jewish people should dwell in Sukkos, bechog, in the holiday, b'chodesh Hashvi, in the seventh month, meaning that they should dwell in Sukkos. Therefore, the next pasuk says that they made an announcement in all the towns that they should go out to the mountain and bring olive leaves, pine needles, myrtle leaves, palm leaves, and leaves of the braided tree to make Sukkos, as it's written in the Torah. So the people went out and brought the items, and they made themselves Sukkos, each man on his roof, and in their courtyards, and in the courtyard of the Temple of Hashem, in the plaza of the water gate, and in the plaza of the gate of Ephraim. Then on Pasuk number 17 says, Vayasu kol ha'om hashovim nashevi Sukkos, that all the congregation that had returned from the captivity did Sukkos, Vayeshvu basukkos, and they dwelled in Sukkos, Kiloyasu mimei Yeshua binun kein bnei Israel ad hayom hazeh, that the Jewish people did not do so from the days of Yeshua binun up to this day, Vayati simcha gadol meod, it was a great joy. Meaning that they decided they're going to read the Torah, and they found a pasuk that says that you have to make the mitzvah of Sukkah. Right away they commanded the people to make Sukkah. The people made Sukkos. And Nehemiah says that they didn't do Sukkos like that from the days of Yeshua ben Nun until this day. And it was a great joy. This pasuk is brought down in Erchin, Daf Lamed Beis, Amed Beis 32b. And there the Gemara asks a question, how is it possible that from the days of Yeshua ben Nun until the days of Nehemiah, nobody did Sukkos? Is it possible that David HaMelech came and he didn't do a Sukkah? Then what does Nehemiah mean to say that he didn't do Sukkos from the days of Yeshua ben Nun? The Gemara there gives two different answers, but we'll try to give another answer. Also, we're going to try to answer the question, how is it possible that they didn't know about the mitzvah of Sukkah? The pasuk seems to imply that they opened the Torah and they found the mitzvah of Sukkah and they were perplexed, and therefore they commanded everybody to do the mitzvah of Sukkah. How can we take this comment literally when we know that the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yud Aleph Omed Beis 11b, says that Nebuchadnezzar exiled Yoyachin, the son of the king Yoyakim, and all the Torah scholars 11 years before the main exile of the Jewish people? And Mefarshim explained that the reason that Hashem allowed Nebuchadnezzar to exile all the Torah scholars and Yoyachin 11 years before was a kindness of Hashem, meaning that Hashem wanted that when the main group of the Jewish people will be exiled, that they will find a Jewish infrastructure ready to receive them in order for their exile not to be as harsh, meaning that these Torah scholars already establish houses of study, establish yeshivas, establish betachnesios, synagogues, establish mikvahs, in order for the transition of the Jewish people not to be as harsh. That teaches you how kind Hashem is, that even though He's punishing us in exile, He tries to minimize the impact that exile will have on the spiritual level of the Jewish people. Then comes out that even in Babel we learned Torah. As a matter of fact, we know that there were great Torah academies in Babel. Then how is it possible that the Jewish people did not know about the mitzvah of Sukkah, that they had to delve in the Torah to find out the mitzvah of Sukkah? since the mitzvah of Sukkah is clearly written on Parshas Emor, Vayikra, chapter 23, verse number 42, where the pasuk there says, "Basukois teishu shivas yomim," should dwell in Sukkois 7 days. "Kol ezach v'Yisrael yeshu basukois," all the natives of Israel should dwell in Sukkois, "leman yedudor yisechem," so that your generations may know, "ki vasukois oishavtes bnei Yisrael," that in Sukkois I made the Jewish people dwell. "Boitzi oisam meheres Mitzrayim," when I took him out of Egypt, "ani Hashem lekechem," "I'm Hashem your God," meaning there is 3 psukim in Parshas Emor that specifically talks about the mitzvah of Sukkah. Then why does it say that the head of the families and the Kohanim and the Levim came lehaskil el divrei haTorah, to delve in the Torah, to use seichel for the Torah? What seichel do you need? It's written clearly, black and white in the Torah, that you require to make sukkahs. What was the chiddush, the innovation that they came up with, that they require to make a sukkah? And the other question that we are going to ask is that we know that all the people that are in Eretz Yisrael in the time of Nehemiah are the people who came out of the captivity. These are the people who came back from the exile from Babylonia, that they came together with Ezra. Then why does the pasuk need to stress that Vayasu kol hakol hashavim min hashavi sukkos, that all the congregation that came back from the captivity, they did sukkos? Clearly, those are the people who came back to captivity. Those are the people that are now in Eretz Yisrael. The previous pasuk already describes how they came back and they found written the mitzvah of sukkah, and they told that everybody should make sukkos. Who is in Eretz Yisrael? Only the people that came back from the captivity. Then the pasuk should have written down Vayasu kol hakol sukkos, that the whole congregation did sukkos. What is Nehemiah trying to stress by pointing out that this call is Hashavi min Hashavi, that came back from the captivity? To answer all these questions, we are first going to bring an interesting Yalkut Shimoni in Parshas Emor, Remes Tov Rish Nun Gimel, where there the Medrash brings in the name of Rav Lezer ben Morus a question. Lomu onu oisin sukkah achar Yom Kippurim? Why do we make the mitzvah of sukkah after Yom Kippur? The Medrash answers, loy malach, to tell you, sheken atumoitze, that you find that Beroish Hashanah, in Rosh Hashanah, Yoishu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Badin al Ba'a Olam, Hashem sits and passes judgment on everybody that comes into the world. V'Yom HaKippurim Hu Choisem Ezdin, and Yom Kippur He signs the judgment, Shema Yatzo Dino Shel Yisrael LeGalus, maybe the judgment of Israel came out that they should be exiled, V'Alidei Kein Oisin Sukkah, therefore we make after Yom Kippur a Sukkah, V'Goylim Mebuteim LeSukkah, and we are exiled from our house to Sukkah, V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ma'ale Aleihem, and Hashem considers it, Kilu Galu LeBavel, as we would have already been exiled to Babel. Shanemar, the Medrash brings a pasuk in Micha, chapter 4, verse number 10, where the pasuk says, Chuli v'goichi basion, being pain and groan, the daughter of Zion, kayoleda, like a woman who gives birth, ki ato seitzi mikirya, because now you leave its city, v'shochant basad, and you dwell in the fields, uvasa at Babel, and you'll come to Babel, shom tinotzeli, there you will be rescued. Shom yigalech Hashem mikafevayich, and there Hashem will redeem you from the palms of your enemies. So we see that going out of the field is equated to go out to Babel. Therefore, by us going out of the field after Yom Kippur and go into the Sukkah, it's considered as you would have gone to Babel. Meaning the Medrash seems to explain that the reason why we go into a Sukkah, why Hashem gave us the mitzvah of Sukkah, is that in case that our judgment came out bad and we were found guilty and we are required to be exiled, Hashem told us that we should make a mitzvah of Sukkah, where we sit in a temporary dwelling and we are exiled from our house to this temporary dwelling, then Hashem views it as you would have gone to exile already. And by the way, this medrash is also a psikt, and they bring a proof that if you are found guilty, lashes helps, from the Gemara in Tainus, Daf Chof Dalet Omet Beis 24b, where the Gemara there tells an interesting story that happened with Rava. The Gemara says that there was this person that was sentenced to lashes in the courtroom of Rava because he had relations with a non-Jewish woman, and under Jewish law it's forbidden for a Jew to have relations with a non-Jewish woman. Rava applied the lashes on this person, and this person died. The Gemara says that the Shur Malko, King Shapur, found out what happened, and they wanted to cause Rava trouble. So the mother of King Shapur, Ifra Hurmis, tells her son that you should be very careful and not to interfere with what the Jewish people do, because whatever the Jewish people ask their God, Hashem does. So King Shapur asks, what is it that they ask Hashem and he does? That they ask for rain and rain comes. The reason that rain comes is because it's supposed to come anyways, meaning it's time of rain, so they pray and the rain comes. But it's not their prayer that made the rain come. Let them pray in the time of summer where it's not time to rain, and let's see if they could make the rain come. It wasn't the time of the summer, so they send a message to Rava, and they ask Rava that he should pray and rain should come. Rava prayed and rain didn't come. Then Rava said, Boine Shloilam Hashem, Elohim Bozenu Shomanu Avoisenu Sipuranu. Hashem, with our ear we heard, and our fathers told us what they tell us, that Poel Pomal to be May and be May Kedem, that you did great deeds in their days, in the days of old. But v'anu b'neinu l'roinu, but we never saw with our own eyes, meaning that our forefathers told us about the great miracles that Hashem did, but we never seen these miracles with our own eyes. The Gemara says that as soon as Rava finished saying these words, rain came down, and it came down with such force and such a great amount that the gutters of Tzipori were emptying out in the Tigris River. The Gemara continues and says that Rava's father appeared to Rava in a dream and told him, who has audacity to impose upon heavens to such an extent? Meaning, how do you have the chutzpah to ask Hashem in such a way? Rava's father tells him that he should change his place, meaning that he shouldn't sleep in the same bed that he slept until now. The Gemara says that Rava did so. He changed his place, and in the morning he went back to his original bed and found the bed full of knife marks, meaning that it was decreed in heaven that he should be knifed, but because he changed his place, he was safe from being knifed and he was safe from death. From here you see that if you go in Golas, you change your place that you normally sleep in, that you are saved even from the decree of death, because since you see knife marks on Rava's bed, and Rava survived it because he changed his place, then we see that if you change your place of dwelling, that will help with a bad decree. That if Hashem gave you a bad decree on Yom Kippur, then you changing your place will cause the decree to go away. Sefer Shemeroish interprets the Yalkut Shimoni totally in a different new way, and he also interprets the Gemara in Tainus that we cited as proof to the Yalkut Shimoni in a totally different way, and he focuses on the words that Rava's father told him after he made that prayer. The Gemara says that Rava's father told him, Mi ike de mitrach kama shamayo kulahai. Is there anyone who imposes upon heaven to such an extent? We added, has the audacity to impose on heavens to such an extent, meaning that Rava spoke with chutzpah when he made the request from Hashem. But Sefer Shemeroish explains that the problem by Rava's request is that Rava made Hashem do kaviyochel something that he wasn't ready to do now. Meaning that we know that Hashem likes to do what tzaddikim request, and since Rava requested rain, therefore Hashem brought rain. But Hashem wasn't ready to give rain now in the middle of the summer. Therefore, Rava's father told Rava, is there somebody who imposes upon heaven to such an extent? Meaning that Hashem answered your prayer, but you imposed upon Hashem to do that when he didn't want to do. Therefore, you are deserving of punishment. Therefore, you should move away from your bed in order not to be harmed. And we see that when you cast words towards Hashem by making requests that He is not ready to do right now, that could cause you harm. From the Gemara in Tainus, Daf Chof Hey Amud Aleph 25a, where the Gemara there says that Omar Rabbi Lazar says, Le'olam al yatiach adam dvarim klapei mala. A person should not throw words upwards to heaven, meaning that he should not make requests that its heaven is not ready to give. Sharei adam gadol hitiach dvarim klapei mala. A great person cast words towards heaven, ve'itla, and he became lame. Umanoi, who is the person that cast words towards heaven and became lame? Levi. The Gemara tells the story. Levi goes at Anisa. Levi decreed a day of fast because there wasn't any rain. And usually when there is no rain, we decree a day of fast, a day of prayer, in order that rain should come. Veloy asa mitra, and rain did not come. Amar lefonav, Levi decided to say in front of Hashem, Ribono shel Olam, Master of the Universe, Alisa v'yoshavta b'morim, you went up and now you reside in heaven, in high. Vein ato marachem al banecha, and you don't have pity on your children, meaning that you are now in heaven and you don't have pity on your children. By Levi saying these words, Asa mitra, rain came, meaning Hashem answered Levi's prayer, but ve'itla, Levi became lame. Because Levi asked Hashem to do something that Hashem wasn't yet ready to do, therefore he became lame. True that most interpreters interpret the Gemara that Levi became lame because Levi spoke disrespectfully against Hashem, but the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says that a person should not cast words towards heaven, which means literally that even words that are supposed to be, but it's not proper at the time, you should not cast towards heaven. We see that when you speak words that don't belong, you cause Hashem to do something that He is not ready to do, that you could get harmed, as Levi was harmed, that he became lame. Sefer Shemeroi says that this is exactly what the Yalkut Shimoni and the Psikta mean. Meaning that since all days of Elul, you are praying to Hashem, and on Rosh Hashanah Hashem wrote your judgment, and Aseres Yemei Tshuva, the 10 days of repentance, you were praying harder, and then on Yom Kippur Hashem signed your judgment. And even though we say in the prayer Shelo Yomar Pinu, that our mouth should not say Dovor, a thing, Shelo Kitzonecho, that is not your will, meaning that we shouldn't pray for something that you don't want to do, but nonetheless, since we pray so hard and we want so many things, then most definitely we prayed for something that heavens weren't ready to do. And true that your decree was signed to good, but nonetheless, because you prayed so hard, because you caused heaven to do something that heaven wasn't ready to do, meaning that maybe your sentence was going to be bad, but because of your prayer, Hashem switched the sentence from bad to good. The fact that you exert heaven to do something that it's not ready to do, that causes you harm. Therefore, right after Yom Kippur, maybe you caused Kaviyochel Hashem to sign in a way that he wasn't ready to do at that time, you're required to go into exile, leave your place, and go to a different place in order that the fact that you exerted heaven should not harm you. In the same way that Rava exerted heaven and that almost caused him harm, and the fact that he moved away from his bed saved him, so too, just in case you exerted heaven by your prayers all this time, and Hashem gave you a good sentence, but nonetheless, you could be harmed by the fact that you exerted heavens to do something that it wasn't ready to do. Therefore, you should move out of your house and go to a sukkah in order that you shouldn't be harmed. The question that Od Meforshim asked on this medrash is, how can the Medrash say that the reason for Sukkah is in order to mimic Golos, to mimic exile, when the Torah tells you that the reason for Sukkah is Leman Yedu Dor Yiseichem, that all your generations may know, Ki Basukkos Oishavti Es Bnei Yisrael, that I made the Jewish people dwell in Sukkos. And true that the Gemara in Sukkot Daf Yud Aleph 11 brings a machloikas between Rabbi Elezer and Rabbi Akiva, what that sukkah was, where Rabbi Elezer says that the sukkah that we dwelt when we came out of Egypt is referring to the Anan HaKovetz, the clouds of glory, that Hashem surrounded us with the clouds of glory. And Rabbi Akiva says that the sukkahs that it's meant in the pasuk is sukkahs mamesh asulahem, huts that the Jewish people dwelled in the huts when they left Egypt, and we are supposed to remember that when we dwell in Sukkah. But clearly those are the things that we are supposed to remember, something connected with Yetzias Mitzrayim, with going out of Egypt, and not something connected with the exile. Then how can Rabbi Elezer bar Moraz in the Medrash in Yalkut Shimoni say that the reason that we dwell in Sukkah is because maybe our judgment on Yom Kippur wasn't as should be, and we were decreed exile, when the Torah clearly tells you that the reason for dwelling in Sukkahs is Leman Yedu Doro Yiseichem, that your generation should know that Hashem made us dwell in Sukkahs when we came out of Egypt? The Chasam Sofer in the Drashas Daf Lamed Zayin answers that the idea of exile, of Golos, and the idea of coming out of Egypt and dwelling in Sukkah is the same idea. Meaning that we know that originally we were supposed to be in Egypt for 400 years. Because Avraham Avinu was told by Hashem in Bris Ben Absarim, in the covenant between the parts, in Bereshis chapter 15, verse number 13, Yodoya Teida, that you should surely know, Ki Ger Yezaracho Be'eres Elohim, the stranger will be your children in a land that is not theirs, Vavodum, and they will enslave them, Ve'inu Oysom, and they'll afflict them, Arba Me'oshona, 400 years. But in fact, we were in Egypt only for 210 years. The reason that we weren't there longer is because we had been spiritually corrupted in Egypt to such a level that if you would have been there longer, we would have been totally corrupted and we would have had spiritual annihilation. Comes out that Hashem took us out of Egypt before its time. Had Hashem taken us out of Egypt in its proper time, then we would have gone straight to Eretz Yisrael, and we would have had a permanent residence in Eretz Yisrael. But since Hashem took us out before our time, and we weren't ready yet, we ended up sinning by the golden calf, and afterwards we ended up sinning. And true that Moshe Rabbeinu prayed for us and helped us survive and not be annihilated, but nonetheless Hashem decreed that as atonement we should go from one place to the other and wander in the desert for 400 years. That means that throughout the desert we went from one sukkah, from one hut where our tent was one day, to another sukkah, to another hut where the tent was. And we're wandering like that for 4 years until we're able to get into Eretz Yisrael and get a permanent abode. That means that the sukkahs of the desert atoned for our sins, that we technically deserve to die. Moshe Rabbeinu prayed that we shouldn't die, but nonetheless, the galus, the sukkahs that we built in the desert, that atoned for our sins, that caused our sins to be diminished. And that is exactly the idea that the Medrash says, that maybe on Yom Kippur it was decreed that you should be harmed, that you should die. But we see that if that is a decree, that if you go to a sukkah in the same way that when we came out of Egypt, the sukkah helped to diminish your sentence, so too here, if you go in a sukkah after Yom Kippur, it will help to diminish your sentence. Then according to the Chasam Sofer, the fact that Leman Yedu Doro Yiseichem, the generation should know, Kiva Sukkos Shavti Bnei Yisrael, that put the Jewish people in Sukkos when I took them out of Egypt, that means that since Hashem took us out of Egypt before our time, we weren't yet completely ready. Because of that, we were corrupt. And because we were corrupt, we sinned. And because we sinned, we dwelled in Sukkos. So that is what the Chasam Sofer explains. You have to remember when you sit in the sukkah, and therefore the Chasam Sofer reconciles the idea that we have to go to exile after Yom Kippur, because since on Yom Kippur it could be that you received a bad sentence, in the same way that when we left Egypt and we corrupted our ways, Hashem made us go into exile, meaning wander around the desert and go from one sukkah to the other sukkah for 40 years, so too the fact that we go in the sukkah, that will minimize the punishment, and Hashem will view it as he would have gone into galus, as he would have gone into exile. Sefer Shemeroy says that even though we have this idea of galus, of going into exile, we still must say that the reason for sukkah is to remind us of the clouds of glory of the Nana Kovet. Why? Because the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Kof Ches Omed Beis 28b, learns from the pasuk that we mentioned in Parshas Emor, that says, Kol Ezrach BeYisrael Yeshu BeSukkos, all the natives of Israel should dwell in Sukkos. The Gemara there learns, LeRabois Esagerim, that converts are also required to dwell in Sukkos. As a matter of fact, Rashi in Parshas Emor itself says, Kol Ezrach, the Ezrach, that's the native. BeYisrael, in Israel, Rabois Esagerim comes to add the converts. Tosfos asks that we have other places where converts are required to keep all the mitzvahs, for example, the laws of Tumah, the laws of Ziva, where we don't have an additional verse to say that converts are required to do it, but nonetheless we know that converts are just like other Jews and they are required to do it. Then why would you think that here the converts would not do it, that you're required to write something that the converts should do it? Tosfos answers that maybe in those places that converts are required to do it, there is an addition that converts should do it, but Tosfos doesn't mention which these additions are. But nonetheless, Tosfos' question is very valid. Why should the Torah here have to write an addition to include converts on the mitzvah of Sukkah? Why should the convert be exempted from Sukkah if Sukkah is one of the mitzvahs and a convert is required to keep all the mitzvahs? Sefer Shemeroy answers based on the Sefer Avas Chaim, which is Sefer Avas Chaim brings the Bnei Saschor in Mamar Tzero de Memnusa, Mamar Yud Ostezvov, which there the Bnei Saschor asks a question, why we make a remembrance for the Anana Kovet, for the clouds of glory, and we don't make a remembrance for the man and Be'er, for the well of Miriam, and for the manna that fell to the Jewish people in the desert. Meaning that we know that we received three gifts in the desert. We received the gift of water, which came in the merit of Miriam. And we received the gift of manna, food from heaven, that came in the merit of Moshe Rabbeinu. And we also received the gift of the clouds of glory, which came in the merit of Aharon. And yet we only celebrate, we only have a holiday for the clouds of glory, for the Anana Kovet. And we don't have a holiday for the manna and for the water. The Bnei Saschor answers this based on the Chiddah, which the Chiddah explains that the reason we celebrate the clouds of glory is because the clouds of glory was something special that Hashem gave for the righteous people, for the righteous Jews. Meaning that during the desert, there was also a different group of people that were among the Jewish people, and they were the Erev Rav, the mixed multitude. They were converts that converted, but they didn't convert really for the right purpose. They converted in order to run away from Egypt. And those people were called the mixed multitude, and they unfortunately did not have the clouds of glory because they didn't have the spirituality to get those clouds. They did receive the manna and the water, but they did not receive the clouds because they were corrupted. Only the righteous Jewish people received the clouds of glory, and because of this reason, since Hashem gave this as a gift to the righteous Jews, therefore we celebrate the clouds of glory as something special, as a special gift from Hashem, because only special people received these clouds, but the mixed multitude did not receive these clouds. Comes out according to this, that since the mixed multitudes were converts, true, they were not the converts that we have nowadays, which are sincere converts, they were converts that weren't sincere, and therefore they did not merit to have the clouds of glory, then I would have thought that converts nowadays don't have to sit in sukkah, which remembers the clouds of glory, because the converts in those days did not have the clouds of glory. Therefore, the Torah has to tell us that Kol Ezrach BeYisrael, that every native of Israel, including the converts, should also celebrate Sukkah as remembrance of the clouds of glory, even though the original converts did not have the clouds of glory on them. Comes out according to this, that if the reason for Sukkah is because of the clouds of glory, then I understand why the Torah has to add that a convert should keep Sukkot. But if I say that the reason for Sukkah is because our decree may have been bad and we are going to exile, then why should a convert keep Sukkah? Then why should a convert be different than any Jew in regards to Sukkah? Why does the Torah have to specifically write an extra verse to include a convert in the mitzvah of Sukkah? According to this, Sefer Shemen Roish now answers in a very beautiful way. And he says that if I say the reason for Sukkah is because of the exile, meaning that maybe we were guilty and we need to be exiled, therefore we sit in the Sukkah as a symbolized exile, then certain generations would not need to sit in the Sukkah. For example, the generation of Yeshua ben Nun, since this is the generation that came to conquer the land of Israel, they are coming into Israel, obviously that generation did not deserve to be exiled. Then that generation does not have to make a Sukkah. And so too, the generation of Ezra, since they are coming back to Eretz Israel from the exile, clearly it's not decreed on them to be exiled, so they don't have to go in the Sukkah to protect them or to be a symbolic exile, because clearly that generation doesn't have to be exiled. And that was originally the idea of Ezra, meaning that they knew that the mitzvah of Sukkah is written in the Torah. They saw it's written, Mayedor Eiseichem, that your generation should know, Ki basukoy zoshavti es bnei Yisrael, v'tziya oisam eretz Mitzrayim, that I made the Jewish people dwell in Sukkot when they came out of Egypt. But they learned the interpretation in the same way as the Chasam Sofer explained the interpretation, that since the Jewish people sat in exile, they were exiled for 40 years in the desert, they didn't come into Eretz Israel, therefore we have to sit in Sukkah in case it's decreed on us to be exiled, so we are going to the Sukkah. But since clearly these generations don't have to be exiled, because this is generation of Yeshua ben Nun, which is coming in to conquer Eretz Israel, coming into the land of Eretz Israel. And this is the generation of Ezra, which clearly didn't have the decree to be exiled anymore. So therefore they thought that these generations don't have to do Sukkah. Therefore, says Sefer Shemen Roish, all the heads of the families, all the Kohanim and Levim came together to Ezra Sofer, to Ezra the scribe, Lahaskil, to investigate if they require to keep the mitzvahs of Sukkah. Meaning that they knew for sure that it's written in the Torah, the mitzvahs of Sukkah. But they thought that the reason for Sukkah is because of the exile. Meaning that it's supposed to remind us of the exile that the Jewish people endured, and by us going to the Sukkah after Yom Kippur, we are saying that if it's decreed for us to go to exile, we should be protected by this exile that we go into the Sukkah. But if clearly it wasn't decreed for us to go to exile, then maybe we don't have to make a Sukkah. Therefore, they went to Ezra to investigate if that is so. They took a Sefer Torah, and they learned the pasuk writes down that kol ha'ezrach beYisrael yeshu beSukkos, that all the natives of Israel should dwell in Sukkos. And as we said, we learn from the words kol ha'ezrach beYisrael, all the natives of Israel, that it comes to add converts. And if the reason is because of the exile, why do we have to have a special verse to add converts? It shouldn't be necessary to have a special verse to add converts, because there's no difference regarding the exile between converts and not converts. Then they realized that the reason for Sukkah is that Nana covered the clouds of glory. And if it's the clouds of glory, then they understood why the Torah has to add converts, because since the original converts, the Erev Rav, did not have the clouds of glory, you may have thought that converts nowadays are not required to have a Sukkah which reminds you of the clouds of glory. Therefore, the Torah has to tell you that even the converts are required to dwell on Sukkah because it's supposed to remind you of the clouds of glory. Once they found that out, they sent out all over Israel that they should make Sukkahs, that they are still required to make Sukkahs. And because of that, there was a huge joy, because they thought that they were exempted this year to make Sukkahs because they are coming back from the captivity. And they thought that they are exempted because Sukkah is supposed to remind you of Golos, of the exile. And since the Golos doesn't apply to this generation, they thought they won't have to make the mitzvah of Sukkah, and they won't have the merit to sit under Tzilot de Menusa, under the shadow of Hashem. Therefore, they were wondering if that is so. Once they found out that they still are required to make the mitzvah of Sukkah, because the Sukkah is supposed to remind you of the clouds of glory, then they sent messengers all over Israel, and everybody made Sukkah, and it was an extreme joy. And according to this, it answers all our three questions that we posed in the beginning. Our first question beginning was that didn't they know that mitzvah of Sukkah is written in the Torah? And the answer is that they knew the mitzvah of Sukkah is written in the Torah, but they thought that the reason of Sukkah is because of Golos. Therefore, they gathered to Ezra to investigate if that is the reason for the mitzvah, the reason of the exile, or maybe there is another reason, like we mentioned, that Nana covered the clouds of glory. And they found out that there is the mitzvah of the clouds of glory. And therefore, they all did Sukkahs. And therefore, also, it's written in the Pasuk that the people that returned from captivity did Sukkahs, which means that the generation that returned to captivity, they did Sukkahs, even though they are coming back from captivity and the reason for the Golos, for the exile, doesn't apply to them. They still did Sukkahs because the reason of Sukkah is the clouds of glory. And they didn't do Sukkahs like that from the days of Yeshua ben Nun, meaning that only the two generations, the generation of Yeshua ben Nun that is coming into the land, and the generation of Ezra that came out of the exile coming back to the land, those two generations are the only generations that could be assured that the reason for Sukkah is not the exile, because since they are coming into the land, obviously they don't have a decree of exile over them. Therefore, technically, for the reason of exile, they don't have to keep the mitzvah of Sukkah. But yet, they still keep the mitzvah of Sukkah because of the Nana Kovet. That means that those two generations, the generation of Yeshua ben Nun and the generation of Ezra, are the only two generations that keep Sukkah only because of the Nana Kovet, because of the clouds of glory, and not because of the reason of the exile. That's why it says that they didn't do a Sukkah like that from the days of the Yeshua ben Nun ad Hayom Hazeh, until this day. Those two generations are the only generations that did Sukkah exclusively because the Nana Kovet, because of the cloud of glory, and not because of the reason of the exile. Rab Tzadik HaKohen Melublin answers the question that we posed earlier of how can the Yalkut Shimoni say that the reason for Sukkah is because of the exile, when the Torah clearly writes down Leman Yedu Doro Yiseichem Ki Basukos Oishavti As Bnei Yisrael Beitzi Oisom Meretz Mitzrayim, that all generations should know that I made the Jewish people dwell on Sukkahs when I took them out of Egypt. Then obviously the reason for Sukkah has to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim, with coming out of Egypt, and not with any decree that we may have gotten on Yom Kippur. Then how can the Medrash say that the reason is that maybe we were found guilty on Yom Kippur, therefore we go into exile, into a Sukkah, to help atone for that? Rab Tzadik HaKohen Melublin answers that the Medrash is not trying to give the reason for Sukkah. Meaning, clearly the reason for Sukkah is either, as we mentioned previously from Rabbi Elezer, that it is Zecher L'Anana Kovet, to remind us of the clouds of glory, or like Rabbi Akiva, that we actually dwelt in huts when we came out of Egypt. But the Medrash is trying to tell you that you should still use the Sukkah for a different reason. Meaning that the Yerushalmi in Yuma Aleph, Aloha Aleph, says that any generation that the Beis HaMikdash was not built in his days, it's tantamount as it would have been destroyed in his days. Meaning that if you don't merit to have the Beis HaMikdash built, then obviously you're doing something wrong, then obviously your generations is causing the Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed. Therefore, after Yom Kippur, after the Day of Atonement, after we did tshuva, after we repented, and yet we don't see the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, then obviously our tshuva, our repentance wasn't complete, and we are missing something that still requires to have atonement, because the proof is that the Beis HaMikdash is not rebuilt. Therefore, the Medrash is suggesting to you that since you have to go to the Sukkos anyways, because either Zecher L'Anan HaKovet, as a reminder of the Clouds of Glory, or as a reminder of the Huts, use the idea of Sukkah to get an extra atonement. Because since we know that Golus atones, exile atones, then use the idea of going to Sukkah as you'd have gone into exile, and like that you will help you atone a little bit more for what you did, and maybe if you are able to atone a little bit more for what you did, then you're able to merit that the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt in your days. Because since you see clearly the Beis HaMikdash is not rebuilt, then obviously there's a fault, there's a problem either with you or with your generation. Therefore, the Medrash is suggesting that we should try to go into the Sukkah and thinking of the idea of exile, thinking of the idea of Golus, and thinking of the idea that you are relying totally on Hashem, you're giving up your luxuries, and you're giving up your secure house. Also, the idea that Hashem is also in Golus, Hashem is also not at his home, Hashem is also suffering with us, the exile, then maybe if we do that, we'll have complete atonement. And if you have complete atonement, then we'll truly merit to have Moshiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt in our days. Amen.